We spoke here quite a long while back about all of the governments falling. We had spoken about how that all of the ministries would fail, and we named a year that by that time all of them would be well on their way out. Whereas since that time, the greatest men in the world have fallen, the lights have gone out. Men like Jack Coe and William Branham and a lot of great men, Tommy Hicks, they've fallen, they've gone out, either fallen as from their lofty place of righteousness, or either they have gone out as to complete or finish their course. So we see things still falling, like Jim Swaggart and Jim Baker, and the things like Oral Roberts and all these other many things that's happened to these great, mighty men. And we can tell that everything is falling. We said that would be nothing left except the revelation of Jesus Christ. And all around the world and all around the different places of the United States, whether it's radio, television, or whatever, when men are ministering, if you'll listen, they'll relate back to the revelation of Jesus Christ, or they'll start saying something in harmony with the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it is also in the natural, we said that the governments would fall and they would crumble. All of them would begin to crumble down. And that in that hour, the Lord Jesus would begin to come forth. Whereas the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ is Christ revealing himself to the church. To the Jews, it'll be a natural Jesus that was born among them that will come to show the nail prints. And the whole nation will be converted. The Bible said, who hath heard of anything like this, that the same day that they travailed, they brought forth their children, as to a nation being born in one day, when he shows them the nail prints. But before that, there has to come forth the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is the Lord revealed from heaven as the Christ. When he's revealed from heaven as the Christ, he is revealed to a spiritual Jew. It is the spiritual Christ being revealed to the spiritual Jew. And this is a work in secret and a work that is not seen, because it is done within the spirit and in the heart of man. And the natural Jesus cannot return until this work of the spiritual Christ is completed. The governments are fallen. At the time that the Son is to come forth, the governments must fall. And the governments are fallen. As a matter of fact, we've never heard of a whole government stepping down before. I've never heard of that. I never read of it in the history of the world. A government is overthrown, but for one to step down like they did over here in Germany, it has never been heard of. And now, all of a sudden, there is another one. Oh, where is it at? Czechoslovakia. All of a sudden, that government has stepped down. The people have risen up so in such a battle until the whole government there has stepped down. So it's going back to what we said when we spoke of the Confederation of Nations as to what it meant as to courts, inner, outer, holies of holies, and the different things that we spoke of, and how it would have to do with the casting out of Lucifer, or the casting out of the red dragon, when they would be rejected as to the United Nations, and how that thing would begin to fall, and now it's falling. And the Bible said when he was cast out, he went about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And by it falling, that means that power of evil is ready to come forth in a personification as Lucifer. This is why John looked and saw that out of the waters, there out of that Mediterranean Sea or the Great Sea, out of the waters came forth this beast having the seven heads and the 10 horns. Daniel spoke of it. Then he spoke of the little horn rising up and subduing 3 of the horns. And John spoke of it, saying that concerning these heads, that five are fallen, one is to come, and the eighth shall be of the seven. Now that is in his day, as to 96 A.D. when he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos, that by then there was five heads of this great beast that had already come and gone, as going back to the Babylonian Empire and following it through, even as Daniel's image, when Daniel saw the image as gold and the head as coming on down to a lesser degree of value as to silver and then brass and on down to iron and whatever. See, it shows all the way from the Babylonian kingdom as to the great gold head, as to that being the servant of God, and Daniel and them being down there, coming on down all the way, those empires, one right after another, coming on down until the end of the world came. Or that is to say, as until the ten toes came. And the ten toes, of course, relating back to the ten horns, or the kings. And in that, he saw that when this image was finished, that at the final stages of this thing, that clay and iron tried to mix. Whereas when you speak of clay, you're going back to Russia. And when you speak of iron, you're going back to America or Catholic power, in that America's really a derivative from the Catholic, aside from the fact that the true church is in America. She's really Catholic, and all the denominational powers as to daughters will go back to her. They're already turning back to the world, and they're incorporating ball games and frolics and everything else into their religious activities, which show what they really are. But anyway, they did not mix. And the Bible said in the days of the kingdoms of the ten toes, all of a sudden there was a little stone that was hewed out of the mountain that came rolling down through Babylon and through the world, tearing down all of the kingdoms. It says it like this, and a stone was hewed out of the mountains. It wasn't by hands. This came out of the mountains, and it smote this image in the feet or in the toes. So this little stone that we're speaking of means Israel. It is Israel. Israel is known for stone. All of her nation across her land is filled with stones, and they build out of stones. It has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ himself as the stone of God, the stone that breaketh all things into pieces. And this little stone will be hewed out, which means God, the Word, who is a rock but our God. Upon this rock I'll build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So then God is a spirit, which means that in that time of the end, there would come forth a spiritual knowledge as to the revealing of the Christ. And that this knowledge would continue to grow until it filled all of the earth. Whereas the Bible said, and the knowledge of the Lord shall fill the heavens, the earth, and the seas. Well, that is to say, in our way of understanding, that at the time of the end, all of a sudden, there will be a revelation of the stars. And we will see the handiwork and the glory of God in the stars. And there will be a revelation of the sea, and a revelation of the people, and a revelation of the times, and a revelation of everything, that you will see God everywhere. And you'll realize that everything emanated out from God. Speaking of the little stone, in that Israel will reject and the covenant will be broken, and then they'll rise up as one nation to defeat the entire world and smite everybody. Jesus, the real stone at the head of it. Revelation 19, vesture dipped in blood, the blood to the horse's bridle. Like the song we wrote, casting the sickle. So we see that the governments are now falling. They'll continue to fall, but it will not be the defeat and the overthrow of the red dragon as to the power of communism, but it will be, communism will become interwoven. Like I said the other day in one of my little exhortations, that you can't take people who have been confined to communism for 20, 30 years, been programmed to that, and then bring them in among other people, and then they just forget what they know. No more than a leopard can forget his nature by moving into the elephant family. If a lion moved into the elephant family or a leopard moved into the elephant family, the thoughts they'd always have while they live with that family is how that they could turn him into a meal. And the same way with communism, people will come in, and even though it's relatives coming back to relatives, yet it is a true fact that they will become interwoven. And there'll be a compromise, and what will happen is, as to West Germany and East Germany coming together as loved ones and whatever, finally they'll compromise. And people coming together, they'll compromise. And they'll find a little good out of communism, and they'll find a little good out of what they call democracy. And first, as you know, they'll take this and eat the pie and spit out the seed, as Brother Branham said one time. See, and they'll become interwoven. First, as you know, this one will compromise with this and say, your way is better than what I've been doing. And all of a sudden, they'll become an intermingle and interwoven people. And then you'll have a different government altogether from anything that you've ever known. And they'll glean to get what they feel to be the best out of it. And during the time that these governments are falling, the way that they're falling, all control will be lost. All governmental control will be lost, and fear will sweep through the people. See, it has to do with the casting out of Lucifer and the bruising of the head. That's why I made the statement a few days ago, all the heads were stepping down, because they know that they're going to be prosecuted. And somebody came to me in the last day or two and said, do you remember what you said about that was why they were doing it? The papers have stated that the people said, let's prosecute those heads. And sure enough, that's what it is. They know they're running from the sword, and it's that head that must be bruised of the old serpent, the communistic powers of rule. So we see this happening. The only thing that can solve this, no one will be able to control the people anymore. Because if they overthrow one government, they'll overthrow another government. And the Bible said in the last days there'll be despisers of government. And people have been beat down by all of these things like IRS and communism and all the other things like Hitler's regime until they're so tired they'd rather die. They'd rather die than be beat down anymore. The Bible said, and they will wear out the saints of God, and then the saints of God shall rise and take the kingdom and possess it forever and ever. So I tell you again, it is not democracy that's rising up in the hearts of these people that are overthrowing those powers. It is the thoughts of God and freedom and liberty as to what God has given them. Because in America, there's no more freedom in America than there is in those places. I've been into Russia. I've been into communist China. I've been into the other places. And there's no more freedom here than there is over there. We have a different ecclesiastical thing that overruns us. They have one thing that controls them, and then they have a benefit of another thing. Over here we have the benefit of one thing as to what they don't have the benefit of, and then we have another thing to overrun us, to control us, or to take away our finance, or to take away our rights and freedoms, to enslave us either one way or another. And so that is why that everything is becoming interwoven. That's why that murderer could come over and visit with Jimmy Carter during that time of his administration. See, they're all beginning to favor one another because all of them are of the devil. I know, you know, when I say that, folks don't like to hear me say that. They say, this is my favorite man. Well, I know, you got a favorite ball player, you got a favorite movie star, you got a favorite president, you got a favorite whatever, and I don't mean it wrong, but it's all of the devil. And they're of the devil, and they have the love of the world in them, and they're going to do those things. Someone would say, well, I believe that our beloved president is a Christian. Well, that's great. I'm glad that you can see that far. I can't see that far. The only place that I can look at is the Bible, so the child is known by his doings. And when I see him doing the things they're doing, according to me as a minister of the gospel, they're not Christians. They're religious, but proselytes. And Jesus said twofold more a child of hell than they would have been if they had just stayed out of religion. But anyway, there's some fine folks in our government, but there's some fine folks in the communist government. There's some fine folks in every government that I have seen on the face of the earth where I have been. And there's some fine people among every race, creed, color, and there's some people that are just downright wretched, thieves and murderers and whatever. So I just speak it like it is and the way I understand it. I say, well, you get yourself in trouble. Well, I'm in trouble anyway with the devil. He don't like me, whether it's in the president or whether it's in the police or whether it's in brotherhood, false brethren. Paul was in peril of false brethren. Whatever it is, he don't like me anyway. So I'm in trouble anyway if I look to that side of it. But we'll just trust God, and he'll let me go until I finish my course, and won't nothing happen until I finish my course. And when I finish my course, you know, like Brother Branham used to say, six and one half a dozen the other. Whichever way he takes me out or whatever happened, you know, that'd be up to him. That's his business. But anyway, this is the way it is. And the only thing that's going to be the answer to this, and that people will rise up against the government and overthrow the government, that is to say that they'll oppress the children of God until finally they rise and take the kingdom to possess it forever and ever, to bring in an everlasting government, in that this little stone will strike and then the everlasting government will come in. And the powers of the sons of God, the government being upon their shoulders, God will bring in the millennium. And he'll bring the Jews around to make them the head of the nation. He'll bind Satan for 1,000 years to get things underway. And nothing shall harm in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. We're on the verge of the tribulation now. The beginning of sorrows have already set in. We're on the verge of tribulation. And we see things coming together. Now, like the governments, these governments, when they fall, there'll be such rebellion. See, can you imagine, say, 10 million people come out of another place, and they've been under one government. Now they've come over here under this government. And so far, like East and West Germany, they've given them a few million dollars, just money to spend, and that's fine, and they're going to accept that real well. But when they have to come under the governmental constraints, there's a lot of things that they haven't been used to. One thing, they haven't been used to the IRS, as we say, if it has to do with American government. And they've had to yield to some other things, but not yield to that. And they're going to rebel, and they're going to rebel the same way against that they did on the other side. Because, see, it's not a matter of rebelling against democracy or rebelling against communists. It is a matter of rebelling against the devil. They're tired of being under the regime of the devil, of oppressing them. You know, people like to follow the devil, eating and drinking and splurging and doing the things that the flesh likes to do as to the love of the world. But they don't like to mess with the devil when he goes to popping the whip and putting them in prison and putting them under a constraint and taking their money and making slaves. They don't like that. See, so we are children of God. We're in the liberties of God. And the Bible said, stand fast in the liberty of God, wherein he hath made thee free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, as to the beggarly elements of the world. So we say, what is the answer? Well, if they rebel, there's only going to be one answer. And that is to say, as they become interwoven, it's going to bring forth one people. And it's going to bring forth one government. And then they'll have to have one money power. And with this one money power, it'll do away with all this foolishness of the dollar value going like having to have a wheelbarrow full of pesos to get a loaf of bread in Mexico, you know. And over in Japan, they can buy 2 or 3 times what we can with our money. They'll do away with that. And then that will bring on one leader. If it brings on one leader, it'll bring on a computerized system, and that coming through Brussels and by the laser beam is to that mark that he can consolidate his kingdom and make sure that he doesn't have any rebellion in it. He'll have to bring the mark, and he'll have to confiscate, and he'll have to take into his control all of the food of the world and all of the productions of the world as to food and clothing and whatever. Automobiles and whatever, and he'll have to computerize them because they're already computerized anyway in part, and he'll have to put all the parts together and bring it under one supremacy as to his control, and then set his 10 kings over it as to his 10 kings, as to his legislation and his cabinet, and then down through those 10 kings, sub-leaders as to governors or sheriffs or whatever it might be as to hundreds and millions of people. And he'll bring that thing down to know exactly how many boxes of cereal there is in the whole world. How many Bags of flowers, we would say, or loaves of bread, or how many bushels of potatoes, or how many bushels of beans, or how many cattle there are in the world as to belonging to him, because it will all be his. How many ships there is, how many planes there is, how many soldiers there is, because remember, the devil always works by numerical means, always. And this is the thing that upset God with David in the days of David's regime. Remember, he was numbering his strength. And even Joab, his general, knew better than that and refused to number all of them, because he knew the wrath of God was going to be on the people because of what David was doing. And of course, at that time, God was seeking occasion against Israel because they had done wrong. So then we see that there's going to be a great supremacy, a power, a king that's going to rise up, diverse from all the kings of the earth, all the kings of the world. And we could elaborate quite a bit on that tonight, but we didn't come here to talk about that. I just got started on a thought of here that I thought or two that I wanted to make mention of. But anyway, he's going to come to power, and he's going to rule the entire world. And right now, the breaking down of these walls is making way for it. But at the same time, with the breaking down of these walls, that is going to bring in a union of body and spirit. Which means, as we said earlier, that someday they would come to a charismatic order of religion, and it would sweep all over the world, and the Pope would give his blessings to it. The whole thing would head up in the papacy of Rome, and that it would be the world coming to religion. That would be a type of bodily redemption. Religion and the world. Separation of church and state, we say, but there's no more separation of church and state. It's all come together. And they lord over the church. But see, the papacy will set everything straight, and he'll lord over them, because they believe in church over state. So then they're coming together. We said that he would have a conference sooner or later. He would have a conference with Mr. Gorbachev, and they'd get together, and that beast, as to the bare feet, would carry the great whore, which is the Catholic Church, and her daughters would come together with her. God would cast her into a bed of adultery, and that the Bible said this last generation is a sinful, adulterous generation. He'd cast her into a bed of adultery, and he'd burn her children with fire. All of the Catholic children with fire, and all of the world will be Catholic children. So then, like the vision we had when we caught the thing by the beard and we held him until the whole heavens turned into fire and brimstone and everything was burned and we were sheltered from it, and then we stood in the millennium. So we're right there at that place holding on, not willing to give at all until God finishes his work. So we see that the conference has come up. They just made the statement just a few days ago that the Pope was having a conference with Gorbachev. Now, it also stated that Bush and Gorbachev was to come together in the Mediterranean, and they were to have a conference there in the water, which again shows the heads showing the beast, the union. See, when we think of the beast, we like to throw him over yonder in Russia somewhere, or in Germany, and send him a bunch of dogs over there, you know. But that ain't the way it is. Part of the beast is in America. Part of it's in Germany. Part of it's in Russia. And every person that is not born again is a beast, if they're not elect. And all of them have to come together to constitute this. I said with the three parts, as to the leopard body, as to the lion mouth, and as to the bare feet. And we brought it out that it has to do with a government, it has to do with a religion, it has to do with sports. And that would be the three great combinational things that would come together and form this beast, which is the people. And as you very well know, that they opened the iron curtain and let the sports in when they wouldn't let nothing else come in. But I said all that to say this, that nobody will be able to control the people. They'll be on the rampage. But when these heads constitutes coming together in their compromise as to one world government, when they come together, then everybody will listen. Because there won't be any way that you can run from East Germany to West Germany. It'll be the same government. There won't be any way that you can rebel as a group of people against one government to overthrow it, because all of the world will be one army. One government, one power of leadership. And all of them will be on you that quick, as we would say, just like that. All of them will be on you, and you have no place to run to. You can't do something wrong in America and run into Mexico and have protection. It won't be anything like that. Not out of robbers, out of anybody else. And it will be such a beautiful thing as to the people, as I said before, it will cut down on murder. It will cut down on robbery. It will cut down on all of these things because in the first place, you won't be carrying any money around for anybody to attack you, to rob you, because all you'll have is a mark. See, and you won't have any problem of how much you're going to make or ain't going to make because the way that you're going to get your food is through an all thing common sort of a thing that will rise up as a government, as an anti-Christ system. And you'll get that through a number and owning a car. And well, you'll just be working for the government, that's all. So that much of communism is going to slip in. And all things common is like unto that of the days of Jesus as the apostolic church is to typify a thing or to be a type of or to be an antitype. And then, of course, as to the German mark, the mark will slip in as to the preeminence as to monetary values coming through after that fashion. And all these things will come together, and when these heads rise up, when they are thoroughly constituted, their government, it'll be a one government. And it'll be 10 kings, it'll be 7 heads. Someone would say, you mean to tell me, Brother Pike, there's going to be 7 leaders, supreme heads? Now, see, I explained to you that this beast has been going on for a long time. This beast has always been the people. See, the beast got started in the garden. And there in the garden, when he deceived Eve, that was his origin. And that beast has always been, and you're his reproduction if you're not elect. Jesus said you're of your father, the devil. And the Bible said, wherefore slew he his brother as to Cain? Because his brother's works were good and Cain's were evil. And he was of the wicked one. He was of the devil. Why do people paint their lips? Why do they paint their eyebrows? Why do they do all these things to their body and give the body the preeminence? When according to righteousness, the body is dead. And they that belong to God have mortified the flesh with the deeds thereof. And they're not looking to the flesh. Neither are they making preparations for the flesh to fulfill the lust or desire of the flesh. They don't care about the flesh because that's the beast. They had to kill it out. That's the bastard image. If you're therefore found in the morning in the bastard image, he said, I will despise you because that is fornication. But you're to be found as bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh as to the change when he comes. Every man having this hope within him purifies himself even as he is pure and will be changed at the Thessalonian coming into that wonderful image of the Lord Jesus, which is the word image. All right, so then a mind constitutes a body. My dad's mind constituted me. You constitute your children. Satan constitutes his children. The mind of Christ constitutes his children. And even though Adam is the beginning of the creation of, so far as world creation, he is not the beginning of the creation of God. Jesus was the beginning of the creation of God, the second man, Adam. But this is the way it is. It is the beast. He's been here for a long time. Even from the old Babylonian system of Nimrod. And the Bible said he had 5 heads that showed up before John was ever exiled to the Isle of Patmos in 96 AD. So that's 5 rulers that won't be over you. And then he said there's one ruling right now while I'm here, exile. The man that was in rule, the supremacy. 5 is fallen, 1 is. He said, and 1 is to come, which means that there was another after John's decease. And after that one went off of the throne at that present moment, then there was another one to come into view, which would be the 7th. That would be from John's time over. One more would come among all the kings that would rise up, and he would be the 7th. And when he come, he was to continue but a short spell, a short time. And then the Bible doesn't speak of him having, pardon me, but 7 heads. But it does say that there will be an 8th that will rise up. And he will be of the seven. So then this one, the seventh, is to continue for a short spell, and then the eighth is to come. He is to rise up, and he is the one that subdues three of those kings that the Bible speaks of concerning the little horn. Or that is to say, he will be the supremacy. He will be the supremacy of all of them. He will be the Antichrist, and he will be the head and the only head that you'll have ruling over you, the Antichrist himself, for he will be the Antichrist. So you see, this beast is of a long time origin as to the beginning there at the garden, coming on down, and in the day that we're living in, he's going to come to a headship, and so is the Lamb of God coming to a headship. And as he comes to a headship, that means that he's going to be supreme ruler. But before he does, there's going to be the constitution of these horns as kings. That's going to be headships. But there'll be horns, which indicates power. Power indicates horns. When you say heads, the seven heads, see, that goes back to Rome. Rome, she sits on seven mountains, and these are the seven heads. So then that means that all of those, even from old Babylon back to Nimrod, has come over to Rome, to the Catholic religion, which is mystery Babylon, still the same old beast, and has come all the way over, and those heads have been. And so then she's built upon those seven heads, as to saying, setting upon the seven mountains, even from her time of the priest of Nimrod. Well, it would take a long time to go into that. We've got lots of messages where we bring out a little bit, piece in a little bit here and there as to how the thing was conveyed over. But nevertheless, seeing this, we speak then of one head, which is the beast. See, that is to say, the beast, because all of the other members of the beast is going to fasten himself to that one head. He's going to be supreme. So then he is the beast. All of the constitution of government or whatever will be his membership. He'll have control over them, and he'll put his mark in their forehead or in their hands, and they won't be able to buy nor sell. There won't be any governmental transactions as to trade or whatever. There won't be anybody that'll have food or be able to sell or have a car, sell anything or buy anything, except they have the mark. And this is the time when Israel is going to reject that covenant. Antichrist will break it as to his promises to Israel. Half of Israel will flee away, and half will go into the mountains, and half of them will stay in the city, and then the women will be ravished, the little children killed. And the Bible said tribulation such as never been since in the history of the world will be upon those people. And the others will flee south of Jerusalem, going down below where Sodom and Gomorrah is. You've been down there to Masada, been up on Masada. You've been down to Sodom and Gomorrah, on below there, where the site was of Sodom and Gomorrah, where the fire and brimstone came down and burned the people when they got in the condition that our people are in today. When I say our people, it's certainly not my people, but people as that first birth. So then, when we see this, then we know that Israel will flee, seemingly from all that we can tell, to the Valley of Petra, going back to those places where there were cities of refuge, some on one side of Jordan, some on the other. And at one time, this thing during the siege was given to Cleopatra. And the Romans got in there, and they've carved out in those mountains, even cathedrals are carved out back in those mountains. And they're beautiful. It's beautiful back in there in a rose-red color as to the rock. And Israel is going to flee. And the Bible said, during the time of the broken covenant, the woman, which is Israel, will flee into the wilderness, and she'll be there for times, time and a half a time, which will be 3.5 years at the time that the prophets are killed, prophesying at about 3.5 years at the first part there of the tribulation, and then the middle of the week killed when the Antichrist shows himself in the breaking of the covenant. That'd be one thing that will be the breaking of the covenant. As he breaks the covenant, he'll kill Israel's prophets, and Israel will withdraw. And when they flee away into these mountains, they'll be there for times, time and a half time. It indicates that the Old Testament, the seven times that passes over us with the purifying the woman after that her child has been born, and then she returns to the side of her king, which is her husband, which is, of course, Jesus. But anyway, this will happen, and Antichrist will pursue this woman when the 144,000 goes up to Mount Sion, out there where we were at, Mount Hermon. We were out there, if you remember, up on this beautiful mountain where it's called the Dew of Hermon. It speaks of it in the Bible. And the Lord apparently coming down on Mount of Olives, it cleaves in half. Then the gates break open as the eastern gates, and he goes through. And there at that rock where Abraham offered up his son, Mount Moriah, there the temple of the Mosque of Omar is done away with. And then as to David's tomb on Mount Zion, and then from there turning toward the wilderness, the Bible speaks of it. And then he says, in that day I'll call Israel to plead with her. So there he will show her the nail prints, and a nation will be born in one day. And during this time, it will be the return of Israel. See, that is, they'll go in there for 3.5 years. And then Jesus will come back at the end of that tribulation period on the white horse, the blood-dipped vesture, making war, and blood will run up to the horse's bridle. And so then they'll flee there as to the broken covenant. And Antichrist will magnify himself above all that is called God or anything else. And at that breaking of the covenant, all of a sudden, then the Bible speaks of these vials being poured out on the kingdom of the beast. And that darkness will fill the kingdom, which means the light, the wisdom, the understanding of God will be completely withdrawn, and there won't even be as much a scientist as to a healing medicine in that day. And in that there won't be any healing, the Bible said the people will gnaw their tongues with pain, and the kingdom will be filled with darkness. And all these hideous things will happen. At that time, the way to the east will be made as to pouring out the vial on the sea, and the drying up to make way for all of those Chinese people as to the powers of communistic infiltration and combination of what is called democracy today. All of it will be, see, all of it, America will be filthy. She's already filthy and infiltrated, and Satan will be her controller, and these heads will constitute, and America will join forces with all the other powers of the world, and all of them will move in as one army around Israel. As one army around Israel. The Bible said, no. In the day that this happens, when you see Israel compassed about with armies, know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Let them that are on the housetop not come back to enter into the house, nor them that are in the field return to take anything, for that'll be great tribulation that day. Pray that your flight be not in the winter, because it's so cold in the Judean hills, and not on the Sabbath day, because they can't travel but one day at a time. As to the Sabbath, they can just go so far, and that's Sabbath day's Germany, and that's all they can go, and they'll be overtaken. And woe unto them that give suck in those days, for the Bible speaks that the women will be ravished and just ripped up, and the little ones will be ripped up. I don't know whether you remember it or not. I remember as a boy when the Japanese were so brutal, when they took some of our American people, and I remember sitting in the movies of seeing the newsreel, and I was sitting there as a boy, and I remember when I saw these Japanese jerk children out of their mother's arms take the little babies, and one Japanese would hold him over here and another here, a little baby, a little bitty fella, you know, just a few months old, or just 2 or 3 years old, 4 or 5 years old, and they would swing him, and they would grin as they swing him. And they'd just grin, and they'd swing him, they'd swing him, and finally they'd throw him way up in the air, and then they'd hold the bayonets and let him fall on them. Because I remember how it was with a boy. I'd just come slap out of my seat, but I couldn't, you know, I just bladed out right into newsreel, I hollered out something, you know, it just got the best of me, because it was really happening. But anyway, it's going to be a terrifying thing. So we really need to pray for Israel. It's going to be a horrible thing. See, Israel has been haughty, and they call people dogs, and, you know, they feel like that we're a bunch of dogs, when we're really the spiritual Jew. And Paul told them that they wasn't a Jew at all. that the wrath of God had come upon them to the fullness. But anyway, they have that feeling like a little boy that spit on Sister Betty when she spanked him. But anyway, see, they are the apple of God's eye, but they become haughty. And because of that, God's going to run Jacob through the fire. And when he puts them through suffering like no one has ever suffered, to become the body of the head, Jesus Christ, who suffered like no man ever suffered. To the natural, they show that. Going through the Holocaust and all these things, it has looked bad for them through the Holocaust, but they haven't been through anything yet. And when they go through this, then when they come out, they'll be tender and loving and kind and ready to rule the nations, even though they'll still have their strict discipline from God to punish the evil. But they'll rule over all the nations and all of the world. Well, anyway, this covenant's got to come, and 92 is moving around now. We brought out some things as to detail. 92 is moving around, coming in fast now. And I said at the end of that, they're going to bring in the world power as to the world money. They've already said that. The last day of 92, I believe, they're going to bring in the world monetary system as to the money. And the whole thing is just right. They said by 92, they expect to have the common market in force. And if that's true by 92, 93, then that will indicate the winding up of things. Because, see, tribulation has to be 7 years. And like I tell you, the calendars are off. I brought this out one night as to the dates and as to where it was off and whatever. It's Jesus going up to the temple at 9 or 12 years old. Now as to what it had to do with. When I say this, see, I'm looking at the calendar as to what is time element involved. With you and I, there is no time. Time was over at Calvary with us. We sing that song. So we have to come to the recognition of that before we have eternal life. You can't have eternal life as to the manifestation of it in your body until you realize that. Because time is a power of consummation. And as long as time continues, it means sin is still in force. Because time brings daylight and dark, and it brings shadows. And where there's eternal life, there's no shadows. Anyway, that took a long time to go into that. Speaking of the redemption of the body. But when we realize that the calendar's pointing to this, as I said to you before, you've got to stop and think and realize that there isn't going to be another 1,000 years. See, which one of us believes that there's going to be another 1,000 years before God brings in the final 1,000 year as to a millennium reign? See, you don't believe it's going to be another 1,000 years. I for sure don't. I'll be honest with you. There might be one, but I don't see it. See, which means that this next millennium means 1,000 years, this next millennium coming up is pointing toward the millennium restoration as to earth being restored. And that means it'll be only 7 years from 92 over. See, which would be the tribulation period if it went calendar-wise and it's set one way or another. The calendars are off. Antichrist has changed the times and season as to the Jewish season thing to keep us from knowing when it would be near, nigh at the door. But in spite of all of that, I'm your minister, and I'm telling you these things to tell you that it's nigh, even at the door. I see it. For they that are godly and holy in Christ will see it. Others will be scrutinizers and criticizers and fault finders, and you know, we'll just set it out and we'll see, you know, whether it's going to be or not. Well, it's going to be real disappointing to you, because if you try to set out the next 1,000 years, you're going to come short of your mark. And you won't get to see it. But anyway, it is for sure that something is taking place. I do not believe that it will go another 1,000 years, so that means that something has to happen between now and the beginning of this next 1,000 years. As to the date, offset one way or another. You know, just where to fall. Jesus said no man would know the day nor the hour. So I'm not here trying to tell you where you need to be ready on Monday or Tuesday, or whether you need to be ready at 12 o'clock on Monday or Tuesday or 1 o'clock. I'm here to tell you that it's nigh, even at the door. Somebody said, well, are you trying to tell me it's the day before? Could be. There's one thing about it, when it's nigh at the door, I say this again, somebody knocks like that, that's the closest that they can get without coming on in. And all you have to do is open the door, and there they are. And the Lord tells us in St. John, in the 3rd chapter, he says, in the 19th verse, And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. All that is to say, this is the condemnation as to what God will bring upon them. As to their condemnation unto death, it is because he brought you light and understanding, and you were set in your own mind to lean to your own understanding when he told you not to, and to believe a lie and be damned, to do your own thing, to think your own way, and to go your own way, and be contrary to the shepherd as to having the mind of Christ. All right, that's the condemnation. He said, that's all that it'll be. Everyone that doeth evil, he said, they won't come to the light. That is, in their minds, they're not going to submit, because they know their deeds will be made manifest and God will reprove them. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. All right, so then here I am again tonight, rather than making video, I'm just talking to my congregation, as always, though we need the video so much. But somehow God sees judgment coming on you people, and he sees wrath coming on you, and he keeps having me to talk to you as individuals and reason with you because he sees this coming on you. And he's trying his best to get you to where you can get out of the way of the storm. And so I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. Many of you have been very contrary. You wouldn't do right. You wouldn't live right. You wouldn't follow the Lord. You wouldn't honor the Lord. Your spirit even now is not one with the Holy Spirit. It's kind of a mocking spirit. Not my people, but I mean as a whole. A lot of times we find this among us. You know, when you say mocking, like Webster's dictionary gives mocking is to esteem lightly. You esteem lightly the things that God says as he speaks when it's not me speaking but God. See, these things I tell you, I don't know. I didn't learn them in school. I didn't read these out of a book. I didn't get these somewhere. He gave this to me and he unveiled this to me and made this known to me. Like Paul said, I wasn't taught this by some man. Things that I say unto you, many things. I've never heard these, so help me God. I've never heard these. I've never known these. I've never conversed with anybody that I've ever heard speak of these things. I've never read them anywhere, out of books or anywhere else. I've never heard a preacher preach them. But nevertheless, they're of God, and they're true, and they're right. And he that hath the spirit of truth will know it when he makes connection with these. But many of you will never make connection with this. You lightly esteem these things too much. And they're not weighty enough to you. And you lightly esteem them. Because of that, you will never come into the revelation of Jesus Christ. And if you don't come into the revealing of the word, it means you haven't been translated into the kingdom of God. It means that you are a believer, but you didn't make the rapture. You didn't make the translation. The translation is coming into the revealed understanding of God. Whereas the Bible said, and ye shall understand. But the wicked shall not understand, even when the good comes. For Satan hath blinded their eyes, even the eyes of their understanding, that they should not understand. They can't comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length. I remind you again, they said, why do you speak to these people in parables, seeing that they don't understand what you say? And Jesus said, the reason you understand is because it's given to you. That is to say, you are those that are within the circle. These are they that are without. And it's given unto us to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto them it's not given. So I say these things to you just as to sum up a few things as to what is happening because of all the falls of the government, the different things is happening. They're crumbling down. The kingdoms of this world are fast becoming the kingdoms of our God and his Christ. You know, when they came out of, East Germany? See, when they came out, did you notice? It's like the spirit returning to the body, whereas we're so sure it's the other way. But nevertheless, when they came out, did you notice that they wasn't saying Heil Hitler? And they wasn't singing Long Live Gorbachev? They were singing, This is the day that the Lord has made. How could it have been any other day? It was a day of freedom. And the walls were broken down. And we said that the walls would come down after our trip into Russia. As a matter of fact, Jerry was just telling me that while he was over in Mississippi, that his wife had gotten hold of a book, which was passed on to his mother. And the mother reading when we had spoken of the walls back quite a long while ago said it changed her whole outlook toward Bethlehem when she realized what had taken place. Well, anyway, it's a lot more to it, folks. This is a very light, light thing that I'm saying as to touching it. I'm lightly touching it. as to what is taking place. But it is to give you, with the rest of the teachings as before, and this compiled with it, a little understanding as to a transition of things and as to a sequence of things, as to see where we're coming from and where we're headed to. All right, for instance, we now know then that the beast is not something that's just going to come, that's going to jump up at the last minute. How do you know that now, that it's not something that's going to jump up at the last minute? See, if it's going to jump up at the last minute, how is it that five of these heads are already fallen? Somebody said, well, the heads was there, but the beast wasn't there. Well, you know, that could be, but the only thing is, if we say the heads was there and the beast wasn't there, it looked like it would have been a dead head. Ain't that what you call it? A dead head? See, and if they were back there and the beast wasn't there, to me that wouldn't fit together at all, because it says that these heads were upon the beast. And so then the beast had to be back there. And now that five of them have fallen, we say now six of them have fallen. And we say, well, where in the world is that seventh one? Did he come on the scene right after John? Or in between that time and our time, has he come on the scene? Or is he yet to come on the scene? Well, one thing will help us as to the seventh. He was to continue a short spell. And then there was the one to come that would have a deadly wound, and all the world would wonder after him. Whereas like the papacy we've got now, and the biggest gathering that's ever been to any man, and 600,000, I believe it was, that gathered after him over in one place, and they said 1 million in another place, and Billy Graham, nobody else can't touch him. So when this particular man, you remember the man that got shot in the head, and they said it's a deadly wound, but I said it'd be healed. And it was, and he survived. So he said, well, now that's the beast. I didn't say that. I said this. I'm going to say this, that if we are this close to the end of the world and the governments are now falling, then it sounds to me like it's time for the eighth to come on the scene. And the seven must be caught in there somewhere. Because if the eighth don't come on the scene pretty quick to get the world, there won't be any world to get. The Bible said those days as to the tribulation period, yet lest God should shorten them, there wouldn't be any flesh spared. If it wasn't for the book of Revelation where it speaks as to holding back the four winds of the earth, they'd tear up everything. Those four winds are those powers that's going to come together in a force to destroy. And like I say, the combination is going to be Antichrist, and he's going to win out over the whole thing to hold everything steady until the middle of the week. And then they're going to be turned loose as to the fury, because the Bible said in these kings, these 10 kings will hate the beast and burn the flesh and hate the whore and burn the flesh with fire. Whereas the Bible said in her desolation is coming 1 hour. 1 hour, because that powerful bomb will be dropped on her. And she'll sink like a stone into the sea once she's finished. But you remember where it says, and no one can get her merchandise anymore. And the voice of the bride shall be heard in her no more. And gold and silver and all of the fineries of linen, and the voice of the bridegroom and the souls of men. See, that's going to be that common market. It's going to constitute and be there when God blows that thing all to pieces. And all of those good things from around the world are going to be there. And that's why there won't be any more of that. He's going to blow that thing all to pieces. But in coming together, we won't go into that because we went into some of it before. But in coming together, the heads as to the 10 kings, it's going to be the supremacy. As to him subduing three of them and having supreme control over the seven, then he's going to be able to control the whole world in his government. And of course, when he comes into that control, Israel's going to leave, because he's going to break the covenant with Israel. And like I said, I'm not going to try to explain that, because we explained some of that here on a tape not too long ago. But we're getting near we're getting near this thing coming into effect, that is to say the beast. Remember, John doesn't record the beast coming up out of the waters until the middle of the week. He doesn't record it until then, but this beast has been here all the time. And it's in America. A lot of people say, Brother Pike, what are you talking about? That's why Gorbachev and Bush is meeting over there in the Mediterranean area, out in the waters, in their own ship. Because Bush has to do with the heads coming up, just like all the rest. And those heads have to come up. And it is in the middle of the week that this thing gets its regime. Whether you understand it or not, you can run Bush's administration down and see what happens. And a few other things that we could say that's on the scene right now. We spoke of it not too long ago as to gross darkness covering the people. And as to the middle of the week and as to who is running for president. As to leadership along about that time. So everything is in a state of chaos. Like sitting on a powder keg, somebody said, just waiting for somebody to light the fuse. Or the plunger to go down. Everything's in place. So when these heads come up as the kings, then the supremacy of head is going to take over. And I remind you again, as I did the other day, remember, I spoke of the Fairchild and the Rothschild. And of the Fairchild having to do with God and the Rothschild having to do with Lucifer. And already it's been said that the Roth children have families, have financed a war because of their power. And right now, an article says that David Rothschild is coming to power to become the leader over the dynasty of banks having to do with London. And he's a young man coming to power right now. And he's of a Jewish descent as far as I know. Whereas the Antichrist has got to be something as to a near kinsman to be able to pursue the woman. See, and for this thing as to the manslayer. And the thing, of course, is that's going to stop Antichrist is when I believe, according to the scriptures, that the earth is going to open up and swallow them up. For the Bible speaks of it helping the woman, as it did in the days of Moses. I believe that that will happen. I've never heard of but one person that ever said that. I was reading not too long ago, and he made the same statement that I'm making, that he felt it would be the same thing that I believe it to be, and that it would be as it was in the days of Moses, the same reference I use. But anyway, I believe that will scare Antichrist, and he will back off, and he won't follow. He won't pursue, follow pursuit as to that Petra thing. But anyways, there's a lot we could say there. I'm just saying that everything is set for the end of the world. You're the people upon whom the ends of the world have come, and you'd have to do a lot of thinking, a lot of believing, a lot of understanding to even find out where the end of the world come, and to know just exactly where you're at right now. And this is why a lot of times I say that the people don't understand. I'm not saying that you are ignorant people. I'm not saying that. There is kindergarten, there is elementary school, there's high school, there's college. And some are on one level and some are on another level and some has received a diplomacy from this but not from this. And they know a lot of things and have gotten into a lot of things and they see a lot of things. But a lot of things they haven't gotten into, a lot of things they don't see. And they haven't reached the supremacy of diplomacy as to what God wants as to the change of the body and the many wonderful things that's happening right now as to where we are at this present stride of life as to the landmarks that God has set. But I do say this, it takes nothing less than a fool to know about God at this time, to know anything, to amount to anything about God and not serve God now. So you can look at him. You don't have to ask him if he's a fool or if she's a fool. You can just look at him and say, there goes a fool. Because a man is a fool not to serve God anyway. The Bible said the fool is said in his heart there's no God. But when you see a man that's come this far, like Judas was, and sees things like Judas did, and then goes out to the beggarly elements of the world, he's a fool. He's a fool. You can just look at him and say, there goes a fool. You don't need to call him a fool, but in your heart, you know that he's a fool. See, it's so close right now that everything that you can do to submit your spirit to God and to your shepherd, to make sure that he's your shepherd. Somebody says, after about 10 or 12 years, I'm going to decide whether he's not my shepherd and I'm going to submit my spirit. No, you won't do that. God don't work like that. If you are born again, you know that he is true. And you know that he is your shepherd and you understand it just like that. You don't sit around in your carnal mind and figure out whether he is or he ain't and wind up in trouble. You don't do that. Now, I have people, they say, well, Brother Pike, I've got to be sure. I know, I meet people like this all around the world. I talk with them. But did you know you find out that people that have been in trouble with shepherds, that they were the ones that caused the trouble? Check back and you'll find out. It doesn't matter if it's a false shepherd. They're the ones. You go back and you'll find out, as a rule, they instigated the wrong and they encouraged the shepherd in the wrong. And then when it turned into a monster, they got stung, as we say, by the bee, and it tore them all to pieces and they run. But a person that is a true Christian, they know their shepherd. The Bible said, know them that labor among you, and they know their shepherds, and they can tell that quick. My spiritual brother can walk up to me, and unless God hides it from me, I can tell it that quick. And I can tell if they're just a believer. See, like here at Bethlehem, for instance, I've got numbers of people that come here that are sitting here tonight. As far as I know from my heart, I tell you the truth, so help me God, you do not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which means you've never been born again. And I know that out there in the world, even in the Pentecostal world, they teach, you know, that you don't have to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost to go to heaven. They say it's not necessary, you know, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. But I'm telling you, that's not right. That's not right. The Bible said one spirit, that's his spirit. If you have not his spirit, the Holy Ghost, you're none of his. You're none of his. It's just that simple. It's a still birth. You're dead, even if you went through all the formalities, all the ritualistics. So then, I have numbers of people here at Bethlehem, men and women, boys and girls, that do not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Some of you live on the campground. You do not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You believe and you come to church. You give. Some of you attend church real regular. But what can I say? I can't lie to you. See, so I encourage you to get saved. I encourage you. The Bible said it. Paul speaking to them at the 19th chapter of Acts, he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? They said, we've not even so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost or not. He said, well, under what baptism was you then baptized? Baptizing them in the name of the Lord Jesus. He laid hands on them. The Holy Ghost came upon them. They spoke with tongues and they prophesied. See, that is to say that how can I tell, or how can you tell, who doesn't have the Holy Ghost and who does have the Holy Ghost? It's very simple. It's very easy. Very easy. Very easy. The Bible said God gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey Him. And you don't have the Holy Ghost because you're not obeying God. You're not doing what you're supposed to. You're not thinking the right thoughts. You're not talking the right words. You're not doing the right things. You're not going to the right places. You're not submitting to the shepherd. You have resentment, jealousy, and fault finding. You're interested in business and money. And houses and lands and personalities and faces and bodies and clothes and all these kind of things. See, so you don't have the Holy Ghost. That's sad. I wish you did. I'd love to see all of you have the Holy Ghost. Not too long ago, we started a little meeting on our own here and began to seek God and began to pray until the children would gather around up here. And at the beginning of this, God began to move and people began to be moved and they were tore up. And I did that so they could receive the Holy Ghost. And at that time, apparently, some of them received the Holy Ghost. But see, some of you still don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And Paul said, some of you don't even have the name, have the knowledge of God. This, he said, I speak to your shame because I would not have you ignorant. But anyway, you see what we're saying, folks. Time is at hand. The time is at hand. So, this beast thing has been here a long time. It's been in America. It's been in all the places. But it's come from old Babylon. It's moving forward to swallow up America as to manifest these people that are the beast part. And right now, there are so many people that have come into this country. I heard today, how many Spanish people are there here now? Somebody gave a number on them. Thousands of them. That have moved in, that's come in from Mexico, they can't even speak our language. Cubans have come in. Chinese have come in. Japanese have come in. All kind of people from different countries have come in. Now, I know that out of this, in time past, we have Japanese, we have Germans, We have Spanish. We have all these people that are American because they're American born. Now, see, this means that you cannot say anymore that we have America and they have Germany. And they have Africa and we have America. Or they have Mexico and we have America. You can't say that anymore. Because all of them are born now as Americans. That means that they are Americans. And that means that every one of them comes from another country. And they are a foreigner as to being America, though they're born in America. And yet they're no more foreigner than you are. And if you go through the blood genes, you're going to find out that you're half Japanese and half American, half Indian and half American, or half whatever, you know. Of course, Indians are called the first American. True Americans, they say. But I'm just saying this to you. It is a mixed up, messed up conglomeration of human beings. There's no such thing as thoroughbreds. There is not one good one among them. Not one good one among them. There's not any good Germans. There's not any good Japanese. I've been all over the world practically, and I've never found any good ones. There's no good Americans. I've never found some. I know, brother, you can scrutinize. I know you've got another thought about it. You've got your own mind. That's okay. That's okay. And maybe you found some good ones. I don't know why you got in the mess you got into if you found the good ones. But there's one thing about it. The Bible said there's none good. No, not one. No, not one. So then if somebody's found some, I don't know. I don't know where you found them, because the Bible said there wasn't any. There isn't any. There's not any at all. There's none good. No, not one. So then Jesus is the only one that's good, and he's God. So he's not one of them. He wasn't even born of their bloodline. He's God, and God has accepted him. So we are, as a people, accepting our born-again experience, our goodness be of God, or our holiness be of God, or we be holy as he's holy because of God. So then outside of that, there is none good. Somebody said, well, why did all of them come over here and mess up my world, my beautiful America? I don't know that it was your beautiful America. I don't know what your background is. You need to run your family tree. And besides that, while you're saying that, the Germans over there could say, why did these Americans come over here and mess up our Germany? Now they're born over here. Same way in Japan. Same way in India. Same way in the other parts of the world. Somebody said, well, I just think God wanted it like that. Well, if he did, he sure went to a lot of problem, folks, to separate them at the Tower of Babel and give them different languages and put them in different parts of the world. He said, well, I think God wants it like that. They're all coming together. They're all coming together because the devil's bringing them together. Oh, my God, somebody says. Yeah, the devil's bringing them together. He's bringing them all together. Why is he bringing them together? So they can get back to the building of the old Tower of Babylon. To build them a name as one people up to the capstone of the Antichrist, the old Dagon star, the old dragon star. See, we built one. God rejected it, and he brought us together at Pentecost. And we built one, and it's that beautiful pyramid city that has her light most precious, that's built upon the foundations of the apostles and built up into a holy priesthood. As Paul the oversight saying, it's not me but Christ, Jesus Christ, that wonderful star of God, his star, that we might have that people of one mind and one accord, one understanding, one language, and that is the tongue of God. So, they're all coming together. The Lord has said to us not to come together. He said, come out from among them and be a separate people. See, but they're coming together. The devil is bringing them together. So all of them's going to come together, and it's going to come just like I told you. You're going to see it all come together just like I told you. And when it comes together, the church is going out, which means there'll be no more light. And the Antichrist will be there. It'll be intellectual ignorance, which is darkness, gross darkness, covering the people. And they're mixed up, intermingling, interwoven mess of no thoroughbreds, of no nothing. You know, if I had some poodles, if I had some Pekingese, and I had some German shepherds, and I had some bulldogs, I wouldn't want to mix and mingle them up in a mess. That's the way I see it. You know, like our cattle over yonder, our cattle are thoroughbred, so that we got papers on them. They're all together Herefords. That doesn't make me partial to Herefords. I like a number of different kind of cattle. The Limousine, and there's a number of others. The Chartreuses, they call it. And we've got some black and white spotted ones over there that are so pretty. See, red ones, all kind. I like them. But I like them for what they are, you know. I don't want my little David looking like my Gracie. When I look at Gracie, I don't want to see David. And when I look at David, I don't want to see Dale. And when I look at Dale, I don't want to see Cynthia. And when I look at Cynthia, I don't want to see George Jr. I want to see my Dale when I want to see my Dale, and I want to see my David when I want to see my David. You know, I want to see my children as they are. Now, I would like for them to do one thing, and God would like for us to do this one thing. I would like for them to be all of one mind, as naturally speaking. And that would be my mind in this light, that my mind was the mind of Christ, that I was one with the Lord, and that I'm the dad, you know, like a shepherd, or that is to say, through the mother, and the mother being one mind, because we're supposed to be one to begin with. See, I'd like that. God would like for us all to be one mind, and that's the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. But He wants us in our originality. And when He changes the body from this old beast body, as to the allegoric types, He will make us all to have one body, as bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. Just one body. And that will be the beautiful, lovely body of our Lord Jesus Christ, and not a mixed up mess, an interwoven mess of confusion. We need to abide where we are, be what we are, do what we're supposed to do, be satisfied in the Lord, and then let the Lord do what He wants to, and there won't be any confusion. Confusion is of the devil, and folks, this world has gone to confusion, and it's going to be more confusing all the time. You just wait and see. When people out of that country down yonder that's never known anything but being a pagan comes to this country and intermingles, and these go to there and intermingle, you're going to have a problem. You're talking about a problem. That's why that they're overthrowing the governments in all these places. That's why they're killing. They can't find their place. They're intermingled. They're interwoven. They're rejected stones. And now everybody's got to where they are. They're personal as to one another. They have their own sovereignty as their personality. And they won't take anybody into what they want to do. Did you know that every one of you sitting here tonight is an individualist? That you absolutely won't take anybody into what you're doing? There ain't one of you here that'll do it. Unless you're doing something for God. You won't do it. You may give Him a handout. You may give Him some money. You may send Him on His way. You may let Him spend a night with you. But you won't take Him in. So you won't take Him into what you're doing because He doesn't fit. Now, if there's some way you can enslave Him in your business or in your family to make a slave out of Him, you know, or take Him in and ravish Him as women and men to make sodomites or whatever, you'll do that. Now, I'm not speaking of you Christians, but I'm speaking of people that may hear my voice. You understand what I'm saying? All right, let's stand together. I know that you're about ready to go, and that's okay. You've listened real good. No problem. I'm just telling you, I just said those few little things. There's a lot of other things I'd like to say as pertaining to the head, the way that the thing will eventually wind up as to that one head and whatever. But I think I said enough things that you understand pretty well what's going on. Now you might say, well, I already knew. Well, that's good. That's good. Then I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to them that didn't know. Peter said, as long as we're in this tabernacle, though I know that you know these things, I feel that we should stir up your pure mind. It's to you that was willing to receive it or want it. But you that are not of the mind of Christ, not submitted to the shepherd, not going to follow me, not going to trust the Christ within my life, I can't help you anyway. You have your own life, your own thing to do. And like the Bible said, you're in the galls of bitterness and the bonds of iniquity. Your heart's not right with God. And you need to pray that God forgive you for the thoughts of your heart. Not having His Spirit, then, as the Bible said, you're none of His. You have your own reasoning, so you lean to your own understanding, which is the first violation right there of not having the fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom, and not having honored the Lord in that He told you not to lean to your own understanding, and that if you had believed the Scriptures, which had been faith, it could have saved you by obeying it, not leaning to your own understanding. But in that you violated that, you violated faith, and that you violated faith, then that means you're on the outside. So to love the Lord, to do what the Lord wants you to do, to try to listen, make adjustments in your life, and try to come together with the people of God, Be of one mind, just one mind. See, if you're one mind, I'm of another mind, it won't do. On Pentecost, they were of one mind, all of them, one mind. And that was the mind of God, which was in the apostles. And when Peter said, repent, that one mind took place. And he said, be baptized, that one mind took place. And he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, that one mind took place, and all of them did that. And 3,000 was added unto the church in one day, because that's what they did, just exactly what God said. Not Peter speaking, but when you say, you do this, and you do this, and you do like you want to, and you go to the church of your choice, and you can believe in three, and I believe in one, and he believes in two, and all this, then you got Babylon. That's old Babylon. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? A lot of things I'd like to say to you. Lots of things. Lots of things. Things as to spiritual revelation. These things I said tonight are somewhat revelation, but a lot of these things are just kind of setting things in order and that God has revealed them to us as to the natural trend of life, or the natural stride of life. But getting down to other things as to spiritual significance and things that I would like to say to you, I'd like to speak to you concerning the redemption of the body, as concerning the spirit, and the things that now is, as pertaining specifically to the church, to you and to me. All right, let's sing this little chorus that Brother Taylor sometimes sings. He's never failed me yet, never failed me yet. Jesus Christ has never failed me yet. And everywhere I go, world, Jesus Christ has never failed me. Can you sing that? He's never failed me yet, never failed me yet. My Lord has never failed me yet. And everywhere I go, I want the world to know he has never failed me. He's never failed me, never failed me. Jesus Christ has never failed me yet. And everywhere I go, want the world to know Jesus Christ has never failed me yet. Glad to see Jess and his wife and children over. I didn't see them till after I'd got started ministering. I didn't recognize them, but I don't know whether he come over for Thanksgiving or what. Was you over yesterday, Jesse? You was here yesterday? I didn't see you yesterday. Of course, we was yesterday. We was on the job, right? That's why I didn't get to see it. I was about 57 people up there and probably 15 to 18 people that could have gone that didn't go. And one or two of those was doing some work around here. And some of the others was off on their own jobs or doing their own thing. And then there was some that wasn't up there that they were eating Thanksgiving meals and Thanksgiving dinners. Whereas some that didn't go has in the past gone, maybe they've been up there a day or two helping at other times. Some of them have never helped. As a matter of fact, Brother Carter was telling me the other day, he said, you know, Brother Pike, he named a certain man that's here tonight. He said, did you know that this man for years hasn't helped us on church jobs? He said for years he hasn't helped. But I said, well, I understand, Bill, because the man's backslid. And that hurts me, because the man one time was an outstanding man in the things of God, and then he went carnal. To be carnally minded is death. When you get back to the natural side of life and the natural things of life, then that means that you're carnally minded and you're abiding in death. What causes that is not having the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you'll eventually drift back. Though you're a believer, you'll eventually drift back and you'll pick up some little thing and you'll say, well, this is not, I don't think this is wrong. And then you'll pick up some other little thing and say, well, I really don't see nothing wrong with this either. And then after a while, you got a whole string of things. And you don't see anything wrong with those. But when they're brought under the light of the gospel, they're carnal, they're worldly, they're fleshly. And that means death. That means death. Well, anyway, we'll sing again. Let's praise the Lord for a few minutes. I'm going to let you go. You can do whatever you want to. Somebody says, well, I don't like that. I feel like this ain't right. And this is right. And that's all right. It's all right. No problem. Do whatever you want to do. Do whatever you feel to do. That's your business. When we meet, we'll meet there at the judgment. We'll compare notes. As we say, on the other side of the hill, and if your notes are better than mine as to your doctrine, will I be okay? You know, and if it's not, then you'll have reason to feel that you should have listened to what the minister said or the preacher said. But it's up to you. No problem. No problem. Do whatever you want to do. Teach your children what you want to. Show your children what you want to. Take your children and wife, husband, whatever. Go wherever you want to. Fuss, feud, until you have your way in the home, whether man or woman, you know, or son or daughter. And that's your little home. That's your business. Do whatever you want to. But you that are my sheep, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. And they followed the Lamb whithersoever he went, whithersoever the word goes, as to Christ, as to whatever it says, we follow in his footsteps. And he said, wherever I am, there shall my disciple be also. Wherever Jesus went, the 12 had to follow him, the 70 had to follow him, or they could not have been his disciples. They had to leave mother, had to leave wife, had to leave children, had to leave home to follow the Lord Jesus wherever he went. So if you can't forsake your wife's opinion, and she's got such a devil that she's so strong that she wins out over you to let her have her way, then you can't follow the Lamb. Because to follow the Lamb, you have to deny yourself. And it's the same way with the wife and the husband as to the children, whatever it might be. Can we sing again? Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Savior, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Tomorrow, Brother Schaefer and Sister Schaefer are supposed to be here from California. They've tried hard to come down. They've run into a lot of problems, so I trust that you'll entertain them and love them because they have great enthusiasm in meeting the people of Little Bethlehem. They said to tell you that they want to convey their love to you because they think that you are wonderful people. Some of them was interested in their finances to help them, whereas they had plenty of finances to the Navy, taking care of the hospital bill and the different things as to the hospital. So he asked if he should turn aside going to Virginia, Charleston, Virginia, their home. Let her refresh herself with her parents and him likewise, and then come down. I said, I think it's a good idea just to go on from there, give them time to kind of recuperate and see their family, and then they want to drop by from Charleston coming down here. So he said, tell them I love them and appreciate them. They're wonderful people. We come here to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, and we come together here to try to understand. This is why God brings us together, and so we're trying our best to do what's right. And I cannot change your spirit. If your spirit is ugly toward me and resentful toward me, I can't change it. Somebody says, well, I don't want to, but it just jumps up. That's because you don't pray through. If you'd spend a little time fasting and praying, it wouldn't jump up. Kill out that old devil that you're entertaining. See, if you'll stop trying to scrutinize everything and figure it out in your natural mind, and trying to run things according to your own understanding and quit leaning to your own understanding, you wouldn't find them things, because all them things is in your own understanding. They're not in the mind of Christ. If you do what the Bible said, to be one with the brotherhood in one mind and one accord, as to the mind of the Lord Jesus, to do the will of God, and not lean to your own understanding, and get rid of imagination, all those things that's warning against God, you'd be all right. Then the Holy Spirit would have a chance to come into your heart. But you don't give him a chance, so what can I say? All right, can we sing again? I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest it may sweep over the wild stormy deep, in Jesus I am safe. Evermore glad to have Brother Gerald with us tonight. Appreciate the nights that he comes to be with us. I wonder, even tonight after listening, I wonder if you're going to go home and make a change, or make a change here. Make a change. I wonder if you're going to do anything about your condition. Are you still going to be disputive in your mind? Rebellious in your mind, contrary in your mind, self-willed in your mind, self-disciplined in your mind, self-made in your mind? Are you still going to do that? Are you still going to go out as the old sow wallowing in the mire? Or are you still going to go out as the dog that returns to his own vomit as to your own thinking? For anything that is outside the Holy Spirit is a dog and a swine, the Bible said. And if you're in the lineage of the first man, Adam, and you've never accepted the mind of Christ to be born again, then that means that you are of the swine, you are of the beast. As somebody said the other day, the Razorbacks, the old Arkansas Pig, and the Blue Devils and the Red Devils, and the Dogs, and the Hornets, and the Yellow Jackets, whatever you know, they all have their titles. One headship, that's the mind of Lucifer. The mind of Lucifer. Carrying one mark, and that's the mark of Cain, which was the mark of the beast, which is sin in general. One headship, just one headship, that's Antichrist. One body, and that members in particular of the body of the devil, in that you're the children of the devil. And Jesus said, you're of your father the devil, and his will you're going to do. For he saveth the things that be of the flesh, because he is the prince of this world. And so then that mind is in you to mold you, to keep you in that old bastard child image of buying and selling and eating and drinking, and the love of the world in you, the love of the Father's not there, the gossip and the backbiting, the frolic, the passions, the foolishness, all these kind of things is there to keep you in that condition. The dispute over the body. Okay, let's sing another little chorus. The altars are open if you'd like to come to the altar. Let's sing I Love Him. Can we sing I Love Him, Dale? Jesus said, if you love me, then you'll keep my commandments. If you'll obey me, I'll give you the Holy Ghost, which is the Spirit of Christ, which is eternal life, which is the new birth. Sing I Love Him. I love him. I love him. All because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's. precious mind. Salvation on Calvary's tree. I was telling David Paul the other night about a brother that comes to the men's meeting. He comes to the service here too. And I was telling him the condition of this man and how that we need to pray for him and how that carnality completely had control of him. And how sad it was as to the things, as to the way his mind functioned. Whereas he saw me a few days ago, talked to me for quite a bit, and told me these things to be a fact, that it was exactly that way in his mind. And he really wanted to try to get right with God. You know, a lot of times in the men's meeting, I be talking, and some of the people, they get kind of frustrated, and they look at me as if to say, well, what's wrong with this preacher? I don't know if anybody's saying anything contrary to what he's saying or whatever he's doing, and I just don't understand. But see, what they don't understand is devils and demons are talking, and I'm picking up their thoughts. I'm picking their voices up. See, and I'm speaking back to them. Where somebody said, well, that ain't Bible. Well, the Bible said Jesus perceived their thoughts in his heart. And he spoke back to them and said, why does thoughts arise in your hearts? Why do you let these things come up in your mind? And he said, thou unclean spirit, come out of the man, enter no more into him. So a lot of times I'm saying things, you know, because like Brother Branham again said, do your thoughts speak louder? Louder than you could ever imagine. Your thoughts are so loud. The Bible says, casting down imaginations, not to lean to your own thoughts. Your thoughts are so ugly and so degraded and so filthy and so unclean because you've never been born again. But you that are born again, that have the Spirit of God in you, you got clean water. Out of your well can't come bitter water. Good water and bad water don't come forth out of the same fountain. So that doesn't come forth out of you. That comes out of you of people like that is the thoughts and those kind of things. The Bible speaks of blasphemy and evil and all these things. And this defiles the body, the temple, and God can't dwell in it, so he has to destroy it. So, we draw water out of the wells of salvation with joy. What we're trying to do is, those that are born again, is subdue the body to bring it to perfection. Though in the sight of God, it's already dead, it's buried. God don't see any wrong out of it. But the only thing is, it's not subjected so as your concern as to be submitted to God, to obey him and to do the things that he wants done as to the fullness of his reward, or to manifest his spirit on the inside of you into the body. See, he wants to bring forth his spirit in the body. Like Jesus stayed 40 days in the wilderness, stayed with the animals, the wild beast, and then returned in the power of the spirit. Whereas he had the spirit before he went into the wilderness. You'd think, my God, there he is. He's God manifested in the flesh. What do you mean return the power of the Spirit? Well, he had to do it that way because he was our example. Now, had not been our example, he was Almighty God as to the Spirit to begin with. But because he was born as a boy, a child, that is, and had to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Heavenly Father as to the fullness of the stature of God to be our example. So then he had to go there just like we do, away with God. And then he returned in the power of the Spirit. And then his fame went throughout the whole world. They said he commandeth the unclean spirits. And wonderful divine things happened, and deliverance came, and great miracles took place. And with us today, what we've got to do is submit us to the measure. Whatever the measure is, that's what will follow our ministry. That's what we will do. That's what we will accomplish. Not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to, but soberly, according to the measure of faith that's been dealt to us. Whatever we accomplish in life, that's to the benefit of God. Whatever we do, whatever we obtain unto, that's our measure of faith. Nobody can say nay. They can't lay anything to our charge, for we're God's elect, and God has justified us, so there is no wrong with us. No one can find wrong with us. So, what we want to do is submit the body, completely submit the body to that inner Christ, that God may say of us, as it was with Paul saying, and God has chosen me to reveal Christ in my life, to reveal His Son in my life. I want God to reveal His Son in my life. Whatever measure He can reveal Him in my life, I want Him to reveal Him in my life. Somebody told me the other day in talking to me, they're a very fine person, they love the Lord, and they said, well, Brother Pike, I just don't understand you. And I said, well, you know, I want to know why. They said, I have never in my life seen a man that all he ever thinks about and talks about is the kingdom of God. He said, I like to think about something else, you know, talk about something else. Said, and this had him all shook up. But folks, let me tell you, it's like I told my wife today, in this filthy generation and the things that's going on, I don't see how you could talk about anything else but Jesus or think about anything else but Jesus. Seemed to me like you'd feel terrible if you even thought about anything else or talked about anything outside of Jesus. I mean, that's the way I feel about it. You know, and even day and night, every thought into subjection, doing for Him, talking about Him, trying to project Him, even then, folks, I can tell you that the very best of the people, whether I would have anything to do with it or not, they're falling way short of the mark, way short of manifesting Jesus in their life, especially as to the early church. We've got too much of our own program, too much of our own plans, too much of our own doings, too much of our own things going that catches our mind, occupies our lives too much to be able to manifest Jesus in our lives and to have lost souls on our mind. You love the Lord? Let's give Him a hand, can you? We come here to love Him. I'm going to let you go in a few minutes. I know it's a cold night. I know you'd love to go home. But when you go home, you know, you'll either have to get your Bible or talk to your wife about the Lord or get somewhere and do something. If you don't, you'll have your children on your mind. You'll have your job on your mind. And you'll have your debts on your mind. You have everything on your mind. And there you'll sit for all that time and give that time to the flesh. And do you know that what you give to the flesh, you give to the devil? Because the devil's a prince of this world and he savors the things that be of the flesh. Sure. He likes to eat, drink, ride, talk, gossip, backbite, plan, go to the ball games. Like somebody come to me just the other day and they said, the brother, I guess I got this right, the brother that left not too long ago, that I said that his heart wasn't right with God, that he got all of his family together and took them to the ball game. Now it was either the ball game or some worldly to do. I think he said the ball game. So they went out from us that it might be made manifest that they were not of us. And of course, if they had believed what I had taught, and I was the one that caused the problem, why didn't they go out and live for God and do something great for God and put me to shame instead of going to the ball games? It's because that's what was in there to begin with. See, that's what it was. That's why it gave problem here. I still have people like that. It still gives problem. But they that trouble me, God shall trouble them. Let's be of the same mind, the Bible mind. Can we sing another chorus together? The altars are still open if you'd like to come. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, on earth thy long to be like Him. All through life's journey, from earth
from Bethlehem's manger came forth the stranger. Just to be like Jesus, just to be like Jesus, on the earth I long to be like Him. All through life's journey, just to be like Him. You love the Lord? I want Brother Jesse's wife to come up here and stand right here. The Lord dealt with her about something tonight. And if she goes that way, it's going to be a lot of help to her. I'd like for her to come and stand right up here, if she will. You love the Lord? You know, God wants to use you. He would like to use me. He'd like to use the sister. He'd like to use Jesse. He has a work for you to do. He wants to help you. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to guide you. But you must, of necessity, do the things that please Him. If you ever intend to have His Spirit, there's no other way. His Spirit will not dwell in you unless you surrender your will to do what He wants you to do. Jesse, can you come up here and stand with her? When I look out there tonight, I see as a wonderful people. People that love the Lord. These people come real often to be with you here. Every chance they get, they come. I look out there and I see you as a people, but I see you as such a variety of minds. I see you as such a variety of purposes. And out of all of you, I see very few of you as to really being in God and having the God purpose and moving on with God. Whereas the Bible said, few there be that find it, little flock. But I find very few of you. People that I'm talking to, a lot of times this goes out over the radio or wherever. Very few people. If you reach thousands of people, out of the thousands of people, sometimes, potentially, your congregation may be a million, like in Omaha, Nebraska, a station that we just went on. How the station covers just in Omaha, outside of getting over in Iowa, a million people or more. Whereas being on the stations in Atlanta so many times, 2 or 3 million people or more. See, just in the immediate area. But out of the many people that may be listening or that you might reach, as to your potentiality, very few of them really have God incentives as far as really going on with God. Now you're reaching millions of religious people if they tune in. Out of all these people, radio stations, TVs, and wherever you go, literature. But even though you are, very few of them are really going on with God in a real Christian-like manner. Very few. And even the best of them that are going on, hardly ever that you'll find 4 or 5 out of tens of thousands that's really anchored in Jesus and doing the way that He wants His people to do. So 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, walking in the light, dwelling in the city, whatever it might be, as to under the regime of a king that will bring the crown into the city periodically. Whatever it might be as to your lot, maybe not even going at all. The murderer, the whoremonger, the liars, the cheat, outside of the city, the Bible said, and they that believe and make a lie shall not enter into this city, not at all, that shall not enter into these gates by day, and there is no night there. And the light of that city is the great, the Bible said her light was most precious, the great mind and knowledge of God. That's what light is in the spiritual world. That's the light of that city, that great, wonderful light of Almighty God. I wonder if Brother James Doakes and his wife would come and stand up here, these people. I don't call you out to embarrass you. I call you out to try to work with you and help you find your way in the things of God. Being a shepherd, my desire is to lead you on to greener pastures and to help you be leaders and be strengthened in the things of God. I want to help you. Now, a lot of times I look over the congregation and it's my way. I usually just go on. I don't ask anybody to come up to pray for them and just say if they're sick or needy or whatever, you know. Because people are real easily embarrassed and they don't know what your motives and plans are. We're not here to humiliate or to toy with the body of Christ. So I usually don't call people out. But in the services, I will say there's such and such here or such and such, whatever, you know. And so many services, so many people with so many different minds and different things as to maybe a need physically, spiritually, financially, whatever it might be. And I try to do whatever I know to do that's right. I wonder if Brother John Humberg and his wife would come and stand up here. Brother Randall Finley and his wife, I wonder if they'd come and stand up here. I wonder if Sister Rose could come and stand up here. If you love the Lord, say amen. I said, well, what are you going to do? I'm just going to pray for them, that's all. That's all I'm going to do is just pray for them. I wonder if Sister Floyd and her daughter could come and stand up here. While we're standing here, I want you to stretch your hand out in this direction. And I would like for Brother Richard Shepard and his wife to come and stand up here if they will. And I'd like for you to stretch your hand out in this direction. I wonder if Brother Pete would come and stand up here. I wonder if Brother Gilbert, I don't see Sister Frances. Yeah, here she is, Sister Frances. I wonder if Gilbert and Frances would come up and stand up here. I wonder if Steve would come up here, Steve Whitlow. I wonder if he'd come up and stand up here. I wonder if Kathy would come up here and stand up here, and the sister standing right close to her, if she'd come up here and stand up here. While we're all standing here together, I want you to point your hands in this direction. Now, there's a number of others that I would like to call up here tonight, but I'm not going to call anymore because we've got quite a number of them here. But I'd like for you to just point your hands toward us, lift your hands up together, and we're going to pray. And I want you to pray for these people, and I want these people to pray for you. And we're going to pray. The Bible said pray one for another. And while we're praying together, I want every one of us tonight to purpose in our heart like this. Say, Lord, the eyes of God is upon me, and I have left the world, and I've got into religion. And it is a fearful thing for me, because I have now fallen into the hands of a living God, because I've come to the knowledge of the truth. And that after that I've known the ways of life and the knowledge of the truth, if I transgress and go contrary to it, then there is no more hope for me. For then I will have crossed over the great boundary of worlds, and it would be the same as you blaspheme the Holy Ghost. There'd be no forgiveness anymore. For the Bible said once you've come to the knowledge of the truth and you willfully go contrary to righteousness, to know to do good and do it not is a sin, the soul that sinneth shall surely die, and you know to do good. And when you once come to the knowledge of the truth, and then you turn around and willfully go back, there remaineth no more sacrifice for your sins, but only a fearful looking forward to of the fiery indignation of God that shall devour his adversaries. So then tonight, let's purpose in our heart that God, from henceforth and forever, that any time that we stumble or stagger or have the wrong thought, our things try to move us toward carnality as to the lust of the flesh or the desires of life or the things that's unlike Jesus, as to making plans for the world, to appropriate for the world, Lord, we're going to turn away from it. We're going to turn against it. We're going to put it down. We're not going to have that mind, because we know that's death. And that should our breath stop at any time, we would immediately be like the rich man in hell. We'd lift up eyes in the flame, because our spirits, our souls would immediately be gone. Our soul would just sink right down into the flames immediately. So tonight, doing things just a little bit different, that it might cause you to think, not just regular routine of service, but that it might cause you to think. I saw in a vision where somebody the other night was wanting, a certain woman prayed for. They called her up, said she needs prayer. And they turned to me and said, you need to do that. You need to do that. I had something to come before me. I can't say what it was, but it looked as though a car had flipped over top down. And then it appeared like a coffin come before me, whereas to the individual. Whereas I can't say anything as to what. That's what it appeared. And it appeared the clouds was around the coffin. And then something come before me, and I looked, and it was as the old woman. Whereas I recognized these people. And all this I'm speaking of. Now, I looked, and some woman had come up, and maybe her daughter, and seemed like it had to do with their baby. like their young baby or one of their children or something had died or got killed or something. They're really crying. Of course, I ain't said nothing to my wife about this or nobody else. But we're always seeing things, and things are already always coming to us. Sometimes while we're in the service, we see things here. And sometimes while we're praying, sometimes we just be sitting around the home. And sometimes, even while talking to the brethren, things are brought before us and we see these things. And we give warning after warning, and we ask you to pray for us, and we pray for you. And we try to tell you the things that's right to the best of our knowledge. That's the truth, so help me God. Because we don't have any personal ambition for anything in life that I know of. So while we're standing here tonight, let's consider now the fearfulness. The beginning of wisdom is to fear God. And let's consider the fearfulness of falling into the hands of a living God, in that we know He expects it of us. And folks, you're on the campground, you've been here a long time. Some of you are bound to know. While we pray together, let's just lift our hands up. You pray with me now. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to Thee in the wonderful name of Jesus tonight, knowing that there's salvation in none other name except the name of Jesus, and knowing that we are predestined people. Dear God, we're bound, oh God, in a direction as of a heavenly source, God, or of an earthly regime that will cause us to lose our very soul. So tonight, I feel you searching my heart, and I feel some other hearts that are yielded to you. And while you search their hearts, you said with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And that, dear wonderful God, the only way that man could find salvation was with a pure heart, and that you'd purify the heart by faith, and that we should not be of a doubtful mind. So that I'm asking you to search my heart as a shepherd, to see if there's any ill motives, any personal motives, as to any intent that would be unchristlike. And I'm asking you to deal with me accordingly, Heavenly Father. Move everything out of my life except Jesus. And I'm asking that these I called up here, Father, Lord, enter into their hearts, open up their hearts, search their hearts, and let them yield their hearts to you, that it might be pure, that they might be able to believe. For knowing, Heavenly Father, that if we do not have a pure heart, and if we do not yield to Thee, then we cannot believe, because our heart is desperately wicked outside of Thee. We cannot know it. We have no control over it. But if we do the things that please You, hereby we assure our heart to faith, and then it'll yield and believe. So as the song is saying, Father, we're yielding our hearts to You. Our hearts is yielded to You, that You might have Your own way in our heart. Father, open these hearts. Purge these hearts. Put faith into these hearts. And let Your wonderful Spirit, even the power of the Holy Ghost, the great Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ, God Himself, the mighty Holy Spirit, let Him enter into these hearts to seal these spirits within these hearts unto You. And may the same thing happen to the congregation. Do these same things that I speak to You of, Heavenly Father, in the hearts of my congregation. Not only them, but everyone that hears my voice. Open up their hearts, cleanse and purge and purify, to bring forth faith unto salvation, that their hearts might conceive of the great, wonderful Spirit of the Christ of God. And help us, Lord, to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, to conform to Thy way. Father, that our bodies might manifest this Christ, that Christ inwardly might be revealed through us to the world. Oh, Lord, let it be. Father, let us go on to a full reward and a full measure of the full stature. Dear God, till we can say as Paul, it's no more us that liveth, but Christ that liveth within us. And the life that we live by the Son of God. So then, God, give us eternal life. Give us thy wonderful Spirit. Bless my people. Don't let my labor be in vain, Heavenly Father. For these are my crown. And I pray that my labor will not be in vain, but every yoke will be broken. Dear God, until they're perfect, even as the Father in heaven is perfect, going on to perfection, to be perfect, even as their Master, Lord, spotless and blameless in their thoughts and their desires and in their deeds. Oh, Holy Father, I pray that you would do this for me, to these people tonight, both in the audience and these that I've called up here, for they're very dear to me, Heavenly Father. And God, they're my treasure in thee, and I'm jealous over them with a godly jealousy that Satan should never touch them. You said they that are born of God are sealed by the great Holy Spirit. And you said, Heavenly Father, they keep themselves and the evil one toucheth them not. I pray that these will not be touched, but they'll be sealed to be presented whole, body, soul, and spirit in the day of your coming, to be presented a chaste virgins unto thee, O God. I ask you to do this. Help me, help my wife, my children, naturally speaking, and my spiritual children around the world. Open world evangelism to us as a people. And help us to have the desire to lay everything aside as to the weights that so easily beset us, that we might run with patience this race that's set before us, to do thy will, O God. For as it is written of me in the book, I come to do thy will, O God. I am in the world to do thy will, and so are these in the world to do thy will, O God. This is why that I came into the world, even to love thine own the way that thou hast loved them, even with an everlasting love. Let it be so in the precious name of the Holy Ghost of Jesus Christ, Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Can you lift your hands up? And while we're singing this little song that they'll sing, got our hands lifted up. Let's sing this little chorus together before these go down. The song is called I Will Praise Him. Let's sing together.
I will praise Him, my sinners slain, to give him glory, all ye people. For his blood has washed away.
Can you sing it again now? If you mean it, sing it.
And I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lord for sinners slain.
washed away every stain.
Okay, you can go back to your seats.
I will praise Him.
One more time now. Can you praise Him now? Can you praise Him?
We will praise Him. Praise the Lord for sinners slain.
And time shall be known no more, and time shall be no more. The angels shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. Say it once again then. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more,
no more.
For the shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. Can you sing it one more time with me now? For time, remember I say again, Calvary was the ending of time, and you're the people upon whose ends of the world have come, Peter said. And Jesus declared that it is finished. But time should be no more. The angel with one foot on the land and sea raised his hand to heaven and swore by Him that liveth forever and ever, saying, "At time shall be no more." On the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when the mystery shall be finished as He begins to sound, then time shall be no more. Calvary, the end of time. Calvary, the end of time. You're living in your day. You've been born into your generation. Looking back to Calvary now. And Jesus made an end. And in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Calvary, in the fullness of time, together all things in heaven and earth into the body of Jesus. And today you're just now recognizing it is coming to the place to where you realize you're not time creatures, and that you pass from death unto life. And we're on the verge of the coming of the Lord now, and everything is just ready. And time. And in the book of Luke, He said, "Come. Come now. For all things are ready. Come now. For all things are ready." Now's the time. Now's the time. All things are now ready.
Angel
will stand on the sea and the land, and time shall shall be no more.
You know, I wish that I could just reach out there in my heart to you, to my natural relatives, even my own wife, to my spiritual relatives, and could feel the trueness of your heart, the sacredness of your heart, the holiness of your heart, the pureness of your heart, to know that you were free from the things of the world and the lust of the world. But I can't. With many of you, I can't do it. It just doesn't dare. All the doctrine in the world won't teach him. It won't change it. But there's some of you that are making an effort. Down in your heart, Paul said, not that we have attained unto them, but this we do, forgetting those things that are behind. We're pressing forward to the prize and the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. And he said to you and I, lay aside every weight that does so easily beset you, and run with patience the race that is set before you. So then, I can tell that some of your hearts, it's toward me. It's toward God. It's toward the things of God. And I can tell that you're going to be pure. Only the pure in heart shall see God. Purify your hearts by faith in him. See, for only the pure in heart shall see God. And if you don't do the things that assure your heart won't believe. If your heart don't believe, it won't be pure, because it's purified by faith. And so then the only way to make it is through faith. And to have a pure heart, you've got to convince that heart. And to convince it, you've got to do the things to please him. How often should I do these things? Jesus had this testimony that I do always the things that please God. And how was it when Enoch was translated that he should not see death but by faith? No other way but by faith. And how was that before his translation? He had this testimony that he pleased God. So, beloved friend, let us please God. For he gives the Holy Ghost to them that please him. And in giving the Holy Ghost to you, the Holy Ghost translates you into another world. So let's do the things that please him. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Let's just lift our hands up together and close our eyes. God loves you. He wants to help you. But you got to draw nigh to him. He said, if you'll draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. But you got to draw nigh to him with a pure heart, casting down imagination and all those things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God, to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, to cause this body to conform to his way of life. So whatever you do, draw nigh to the Lord. Draw nigh to the Lord, and he'll draw nigh to you. He'll draw nigh to you. While you're standing there, I'm going to ask Brother Atlee Beecher to come up here and dismiss us. And while Brother Atlee's coming, Brother Atlee Beecher, if you will, come and dismiss us. And while he's coming, let's just meditate for a few minutes. See if we're being the faith. Faith by the hearing of the word. If you're listening to the word, following the word, then you'll believe. See if you're being the faith. Just to believe what you think or what you've heard is not enough. That's not faith. See, but to believe the word, faith by the hearing of the word. So, see if you're believing in the word and what he says and what he desires. And your faith is made known by your deeds. What you believe, you'll do. And the Bible says the child is known by his doings, and show me your faith by your works. So then, what we do is what we believe. What we believe, that's what we do. While Brother Atlee's coming to pray, let's everybody just examine ourselves. This is a day so close, and see if we're in the faith.